Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio with Carla and Linda Bott. It's 7:05 in the morning, and it is going to be a great day. Hey, our phone numbers here are 605-4567. We stream at KCNR1460.com. July 29th. We are rounding out this month just as fast as we can. 28th. Okay. It wasn't as fast as I thought, but it is the 28th. It is July, right? And speaking of is it, there's Bad Bob.
I don't feel so bad now. Good morning.
Well, you know, Bad Bob stepped in because Jim Brimmer, who deserves this, is taking some days off, so Bad Bob steps up to be the newsman.
I hadn't done the morning news in about 4.5 years. It was wow, I sort of remember how this works.
Oh. Well, you sounded great.
Thank you.
So that's nothing like an old pro standing in front of the microphone. It just kind of comes back like, you know, skating, right?
Getting on a horse. Speaking of old pros, except not so old, but you're a pro.
It's okay. I didn't take it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing this since you were 15. Singing.
Well, I haven't been on the radio. Like, wouldn't that be fun? I think I might, you know.
No, anybody that's been on the radio that long.
Well, there's a lot of people. 64 degrees. Currently, and it's going to be another beautiful day with a high near 94. It was just absolutely a gorgeous day yesterday. Nothing ever felt too sweltering hot. And today, I love to go through that. Jimbo is always, you know, today is the day of. So
it was the first time there was the longest flight or something in the Wright brothers.
Right.
Flew it till they retired and then crashed it.
Was the birth of the singing telegram. And he said, and who got the first singing telegram? And I said, who? He said, Rudy Valley. Okay. But a couple other things that I thought were kind of interesting was that in 1939, Judy Garland sang one of the most famous songs of the century, and it became her signature song forever. Do you know what it was?
Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yes, absolutely. It was on this day in 1939. Excuse me. In 1951, the Walt Disney film Alice in Wonderland. 1951. Released by RKO Pictures. And in 1945, a B-25 bomber crashed into the 79th floor of the fog-shrouded Empire State Building, and over a dozen people were killed. Let's see. 1973, on this day, exactly a year after their first date, TV's $6 million man, Lee Majors, and Charlie's Angels, Farrah Fawcett, were married. They were divorced. They were married, then divorced, February 16th. But the whole Charlie's Angels is still so fun to watch.
Yeah, the poster. There's still Farrah Fawcett posters in, you know, hidden around in attics or, you know, rolled up and put into suitcases and things, you know, from people that were 15 years old and did not realize that hair could be that striking.
So. Well, you know, her poster really was, you know, when you think about it, there were the goddess posters were, of course, 10 million years BC with Raquel. That was a huge one. And then it went from Raquel to Farrah. And then, of course, Cheryl Teagues and then that whole 70s. It's interesting watching commercials this morning, or whenever we watch TV, is that I kind of miss the commercials from the 70s and the 80s. They seem to be more simple. I think I don't like the advertisers dumbing down. I feel like they just are, you know, it's...
I hate it when they scream the same number 12 times during a commercial. That's 888 444 3333. That's what I mean. 888. I mean, you know, there's enough.
Do you have a? Of course, but I mean, do you have a favorite commercial? When you love it when it comes on, you just think, oh, this is a really good commercial. This is fun.
No.
Okay.
I think it's a lot of fun watching Bob and Eric and Jim make commercials. That's that's fun. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but before we do. The fire season is on us. They said there was like 150 fires burning in the state of California, but down in Tehachapi, they've had 30 houses burnt with 150 Ooh. Houses threatened. I saw them trying to fight that fire yesterday.
Ooh, my uncle has a place there.
They have they had the tanker airplanes. They had helicopters out there, and then in New York City pays $7 million to the family of a man they shot 50 times. It seems like there was a bachelor party, and as the bachelor was leaving, police were called. The guys got in a car. The police started shooting. 50 shots later, he was dead. Two others were wounded. And the city was found, you know, they were taking him to court for assault and civil rights violations and whatever. But it came out to $7 million, and they said, and this is like the second one in just a few months. They had another $9 million lawsuit for putting a guy in jail for 19 years and finding out that the detectives who had arrested him had lied.
So, now, where was this?
This is New York City.
Oh, okay. I went to like, Tehachapi, too.
Well, no,
okay.
But there's, the thing is that things that are happening, it's like, when somebody starts shooting like that, in this case, this happened 2 years ago, but it was a big case back there, and I remember it was in the papers a long time, and, you know, it was going back and forth. You know, he was driving his car toward the policeman, supposedly, and I don't think that they've ever said that the policeman were guilty of anything. I think they just, like you said, they just settled out of court. Let's take a quick break. We've got a lot of people going to be on here today, and a lot of things we want to talk about, including Shasta County suing the government, as well they should, over something that impacts on many of us. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
You can't.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:15 on July 28th. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Tobacco and Brew has the finest walk-in humidor in the North State, but even better, they have Espresso Joe's. It's going to be 98 degrees today, I think, and when it is, that's a good time to go in and get an iced coffee, get a smoothie, get any of those ice drinks that they serve there because they make them great, and they have superb prices. Joe and Shelley have all the types of different coffee presses and coffee makers, and if you've got a coffee machine that you don't know how to use, they're going to show you how to do it free of charge. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We have our guest in the station today, and we're going to... It's more than I thought, but it's even better than I thought. So we're going to start with one of them, and we'll start with the first gentleman here, and then we're going to work our way up. Today is Veterans Day, this portion of our show, as it should be every day for everybody. And our guest is Gary Douglas from the American Veterans, AMVETS, Department of Vet California, and he is the Outreach Service Officer. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. You don't have to call me sir anymore. I actually have to work for a living.
So. Well, it's an honor to be in your presence, Colonel, and I'm an ex-bosun's mate from the Navy, so I respect you and I respect your rank. So.
Well, you know, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I am honored by that, Gary. Tell our listeners who may not be aware of what the American Veterans do.
American Veterans is an organization that was created back in 1942 and chartered in 1945. We've been in existence as long as the other service organizations, but our caveat is we serve all veterans of all eras, and we actually serve the National Guard as well as all reservists. And we are actually veterans helping veterans.
And you're up here, you're not from here, you've come up from Sacramento, I believe.
Yeah, actually I live in Victorville, in Southern Cal.
Okay.
And I'm the, go ahead.
I was just going to say that when you see AMVETS, that's the abbreviation for American Vets, right?
You're absolutely right, and we should say that. We don't say it often enough, but it is American Veterans.
Right.
Anyways, I came out in April. I was invited by Post 4, a brand new post here in Redding, California, the Mojo, AMVETS 4. Anyways, there's a need here, and there's a dire need. And when I came up on my first trip, I know that Greg and I probably saw about 50-something, 60-something people in the 2 days that I actually had, but I know that I had over 300 contacts when I got back to my office. So it tells me that there's a great need in Shasta County, actually just Northern California in general. And what I do is I actually break down the benefit in layman's terms. Instead of using the legal terminology of the VA, I explain it to the veteran. And that's the advantage of what American Veterans is allowing me to do, to come up here and serve.
Well, when you say there's a great need, can you break down what that means? There's a great need for?
Actually, I think that, and I'm in agreement with some of your folks up here up north, you guys do need a medical center. I'm absolutely surprised at the amount of veterans that I have seen. I need to tell you, I was totally impressed when I came up this time because I actually got to read the Shasta County sign. And what a wonderful slogan. We love our vets. I mean, what a wonderful, what county advertises that? Not that we all don't love our vets, but to advertise it. There are needs here. There's needs for more service officers. The need that I've seen sitting, actually yesterday we had quite a few people come in. There's need for medical centers. There's a need for a vet center specifically for our PTSD and TBI veterans that are coming home. So I see that there's a great need up here, and of course I've made the noise that I can with my organization, and hopefully we can get together and create some stuff up here to happen.
I know that this is something, the Veterans Center is something that that's been talked about now for a few years. And a Veterans Center, if I understand right, this is a place where the, as you said, the warriors that are from any war that are suffering from post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury can go into, and it's run by the VA.
Yes, sir.
And so that it's a different it's different than the clinic.
It is.
And the clinic is a completely separate entity of this.
Yes, in Victorville they actually opened a brand new vet center, and they're actually doing family counseling. And we both know never in the history of our country have we sent young men and women to combat zones four and five tours. So we know that there's going to be issues when these young folks come home. And God bless them. I'm glad that we have them. An all-volunteer force. But anyways, the vet center there in Victorville, I actually attended the grand opening, and I spoke with he's a retired colonel himself in the Army, Mac, and he runs the center there in Victorville. And again, they brought in family therapists. And, you know, with PTSD and traumatic brain injury, there's a lot of stuff going on where marriages are destroyed, families are destroyed. But now our country is actually addressing those issues, and I'm proud of that.
Well, they're looking at it as a family matter, as you would alcoholism and others, where they do family counseling.
Correct.
And this is something they should do. If this is a distress that's obtained, or I can't, I'm not going to say caught. I don't. That you have now due to your service,
correct,
and due to combat or what you know other traumatic events in your life,
yes,
concerning the military, then you should have that type of counseling, and then your family should also have the type of counseling as they do with Al-Anon and that to be able to cope with this also, so everybody understands instead of just one person.
Yes, and the Vet Center is a great idea. One of the things that they do that's differently than at the VA clinics or the VA hospitals is the group therapy. Now, they do have groups. However, they're more primary one-on-one, so the veteran can actually schedule his appointment. You know, a lot of these groups that they do at the VA are at 10 o'clock or at 12 o'clock, and some guys can't leave the office at 12 o'clock on Wednesday to be at an appointment. So the advantage of a vet center, and all y'all out there listening, I would really start making phone calls. The advantage is the self, I don't want to say self-serving, but you can decide when you want to go to the vet center.
You can
show up.
Right.
Absolutely. Saturdays, they're doing appointments on Saturdays now, so they're trying to meet the needs of the working veteran.
Okay. Hey, look, we're going to have to take a quick break here. Gary Douglas is our guest today, and plus we've got a couple other young warriors that we're going to be introducing when we come back. We're talking AMVETS, American Veterans, and what they do, also the requirement to have a Veterans Center right here in Reading. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
The original owners are back at Tortilla Flats. Come in and satisfy your cravings for great Mexican cuisine. Tortilla Flats makes their food fresh every day, and nothing comes from a can. Everything is made from scratch and has the true taste of Mexico in every dish. One of their specialties is their delicious enchilada ranchero, made with beef or chicken, sour cream, avocado, and green chili. So stop for a moment and ask your taste buds what they want. They'll jump right out and tell you, Tortilla Flats. Come in for lunch, dinner, or happy hour. Tortilla Flats.
To Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. If you have something you want to write to Linda, just write her at linda@kcnr1460.com. Our guest is Gary Douglas, who is the outreach officer of the American Vets Association, which I guess, or I don't know if it's association, but American Veterans.
American Veterans.
Just and Vets, which you'll hear a lot of. And we've been talking about the need for a veterans center here in Shasta County, and that's based on the number of veterans, of course, in the county.
Yes.
Now, we were talking during the break about thousands of young men and women are returning home.
Yes, we have we're estimating between 60 and 80,000 veterans will return at the end of August, September. That's the actual drawdown out of Iraq. Unfortunately, I don't believe we are prepared.
Well, is that how many you believe are going to be getting out at that time, or is this they're going to draw down from Iraq and then turn around and head for Afghanistan?
Well, I leave that to the political heads. I believe that a good majority of them are going to come home, because we have a total of 180,000 troops on the ground in Iraq, and I don't believe that they're going to commit all 180,000 to Afghanistan. But then again, I'm not a power. All I am is a service officer out here, and I see that we're going to have quite a few young men and women back in our country. No jobs, PTSD, traumatic brain injury. We're going to have a lot of issues, and some of them won't even have a job when they get back because the Army will probably put them out.
Well, you're going to be at Tobacco and Brew the next few days.
Yes.
So we encourage you who are listening, who perhaps has someone in your family,
yes,
it could be a friend or a neighbor coming back that you care deeply about, And come down to Tobacco Brew. Tell us about the hours. What will you guys be doing there?
I'll be there actually today and tomorrow. We'll be there from 9 until 4. And we'll be there as late as we need to be. And what we're doing is I'm reviewing DD-214s, and I'm reviewing what's going on in each person's life, as well as, you said, loved ones. There's aid in attendance out there for wartime era veterans. And aid in attendance actually will help the family pay for nursing facilities as well as assisted living facilities. It's a $1,300 a month benefit for the veteran and a $1,900 a month benefit for the husband and wife both. So there are a plethora of benefits, and you need to come and ask.
Now that's for any age also too. That $1,300. I mean, you don't have to be in your 80s or.
Oh, that's cool. that was a poem, but it was like really weird.
I thought it was
kind
like,
of a weird ring.
We had something boiling
like
over.
Like an alien
was,
screaming outside.
There's Greg Rappas outside, and I thought he was boiling over about something.
I don't know if you can see I'm blushing on a radio station, but I apologize.
Yeah, we have that. We need to put that big sign up. You know, cell phones with a big, you know, with a big line.
Oh, it's interesting to see why people pick their ring, why they pick it out. So yeah, anyway.
Mine goes. Help me! Help me! Help me!
Well, the crickets remind me of Douglas Road in Louisiana, my favorite place in the whole world.
Well, there you go.
And the crickets are so loud, it's almost deafening. So.
Oh, that is so awesome. Well, see, that's a good story.
Yes.
You know, we've okay. So you're going to be down at Tobacco and Brew.
Yes.
And you're going to be talking to the veterans that come in there, answering their questions. And this is, you know, what you talk to the veteran service officer and all this is there's just so much misinformation or misapprehension out there.
Yes.
And it really that there's so many people out there that want to help, like you and Bob Dunlap and Dave Lamford and so many other people that want to help.
Yes.
So only thing that people need to do is get out there and just meet some of you all and let you help them. We got like 30 seconds left, and what we're going to do is we're going to finish out this segment, and we're going to come back in with a couple of the warriors that we've been talking about for the last year or so. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
North State, 605-4567. That is our hotline. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bonnie here on Free Fire Radio, 1460. It's currently 64 degrees. Going to be a high today of 94. Fabulous day. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
7:35 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley, 82nd Airborne kind of guy, offers great service. They've been in business there since 1985. We're on Airport Road, just down from the Burrito Bandito. He puts in those home theater systems. He puts in Dish Networks. Has great deals. He can get you free HD for life. Ask him how to do that. And the phone number there is 244-1988. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. What a great job he does. You know, we're honored to have our next two guests here. When we talk about so much, we talk about when you're out on the beaches on the weekends, or we're talking about Memorial Day or 4th of July, everybody's drinking beer and having barbecues and trying not to kill each other out on Shasta Lake. We try to remind everybody about our warriors that are out on the walls then, that they're out in 140-degree weather. They're out there in combat, you know, meeting the enemy, keeping the enemy there as opposed to being out on Shasta Lake with us. And we're honored to have as our guest John Keith and Lori Goodwin. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
John Keith is the founder of the OIF, that'd be Operation Iraqi Freedom Veteran Community.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, John?
Doing good. We're trying to get the word out there to these young veterans that, you know, there's others out there, and there's about 2 million of us at this point, so...
2 million
yes,
veterans.
Sir, 2 million veterans from Iraq alone. And so we try to reach out to them. I started this. I've got multiple injuries. I broke my ankle in 7 places while on duty. I was taken to the hospital, underwent 7 surgeries, suffered 13 blood clots. Came back home a year later. I was medically retired at the age of 32, so it's really hard because you come back, and we look healthy, and we look like we, you know, 32-year-olds. But due to the exposures from the environment, not only the heat, which affects your brain and everything else, but we're coming back with TBIs, which is traumatic brain injuries, also PTSD. So we're coming back with everything put together, wrapped up in a package, but we look healthy, and that's a big problem. So we advocate on the veterans' behalf to help relay that, even though we may look all right, we definitely don't feel okay. So that's what we do in our organization, the OIF Veteran Community.
Now, when you're, is this a nationwide organization?
Yes, sir. We have people from here to Germany. We've got people from Maine. We've been able to help about 14 veterans get disability, get 100% rating from the VA with back pay. We've helped veterans get $5,000 for a car, $700 for rent. And we do that through the people that we know. We don't try to cut through red tape or anything like that. We don't want to step on toes. We just, when we find people, I've met veterans that shake so bad from alcoholism, from PTSD, that they can't hold a glass in their hands. And these guys get $900 a month to live on from the VA. So it's just, that's the things we try to attack. And we go ask questions, why does this veteran have diabetes and pancreatitis at the age of 27, and he's only getting $900 a month? So that's really the things we're attacking here.
So what you're doing is you're finding young men and women, other men and women, and it doesn't have to be young. They could be of any war.
Yes, sir. Vietnam to.
Right. But you're concentrating on the people of your age group, and there's so many of them.
They come to me. Once they have the strength to come forward, and two of them see it, then one of them will have the strength to come forward, then four people see that, and then two of those will have the strength to come forward. So it really just multiplies itself. And it, but it's for any veteran. We will help anybody because we all served wartime or peacetime.
Right. Now, the is there a OIF organization up here in Reading?
It's nationwide. Our members are everywhere. You can go on Facebook and look my name up, John Keith, K-E-I-T-H. And that's where we have a lot of great people. Operation First Response, USA Together, Wounded Warriors.
Are all these interlinked then?
Yes, sir.
So that you all are helping each other, right?
Yes, sir. We get the main founders of the organizations that come to us and say they want to help the veterans. So when the veterans come to us with a need, they will have that need met within a matter of weeks. And once you, my goal is to help them with their VA case, because when you help them with that and they get set like they would have been if they had never gone to war and gotten a real job, then you don't have to worry about the $700 for rent because they're making enough where they don't have to ask for money. But we are able to get them their help they need within a matter of weeks, sometimes hours.
Now, the VA doesn't try to. You know, a lot of people have got bad things to say about the VA. In fact, you know, it really doesn't have a lot to do with about what's going on at Arlington, as you know, with the mix-ups and all the graves and everything. But the VA is not trying to throw up walls, are they? I mean, once you get to them, are they very helpful, or are we in a huge bureaucracy that you just have to batter down the walls?
Well, the reason I'm here in California, I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. I've only moved out here in the last 6 months. I went from 200 pounds getting out of the Navy as a firefighter. I went down to 138 pounds within a year and a half. I was vomiting blood. I didn't eat for weeks. I wasn't sleeping at all. The VA did a blood test, and that's it, and they said I was fine. So I knew at that point I wasn't going to live if I didn't get out of there. And I moved here with an advocate I know, Miss Nadia McCaffrey, mother of Patrick McCaffrey, KIA Balad, Iraq. Moved to her house and started going to the Livermore and Palo Alto VA. And that was about 6 months ago. They just put me in the War-Related Injury and Illness Study Center. And I asked what that meant, and they said undiagnosed symptoms. So they put me in an undiagnosed symptoms group, MRIs, CAT scans. They've now found spots on my liver, heart problems, breathing problems. So it is a bureaucracy, but if you keep pushing, you will eventually get
you
what
just
you're
can't,
asking
you can't
for.
Give up. You, just need
you can
help.
Never give up.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot here on Free Fire Radio. Our guests are John Keith and Lori Goodwin of the Operation Iraqi Freedom Veteran Community that are here to help veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan era, but also of all different eras. Join us after this message.
In a minute.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 North State, 7:45 in the morning on July 28th. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest today, it's Veterans Day, Gary Douglas from the MVETS, who is standing by, but also John Keith and Lori Goodwin from the Operation Iraqi Freedom Veteran Community. And Lori, good morning.
Morning.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Lori's a little nervous. But, you know, it's funny how somebody will be nervous and sitting in front of a microphone, yet spend 15 months in Baghdad in combat and probably not be this nervous. Okay, they couldn't hear that shrug, but that's okay. So what do you do for Operation Iraqi Freedom, Lori?
The website.
Okay, so you make the website for Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Yeah, and I'm a board advisor.
And a board advisor. Okay. How old are you, Lori?
27.
27. How long were you in the Army?
I don't really remember. My total service time is like 9.5 years, but I split it between Air Force and Army. So.
Okay.
Wow.
So, and you spent one tour in Iraq then, in Baghdad, for 15 months. You were in one of those 15-month tours as opposed to the one-year tour.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, we had to extend some people, and you were one of those?
Well, no, it was during the second surge, so they needed more soldiers in Iraq.
Okay. And what was your job?
I coordinated medevacs for the entire theater of Iraq.
Okay. So, on the second surge, were you busy 24 hours a day?
Yeah. There was times where we weren't really that busy, but those were good days.
Yeah.
Because that means nobody was getting hurt.
So, how'd you get involved with Operation Iraqi freedom veterans.
I met Lori Goodwin about 6 months ago, and when the veterans right now, the VA has a 1-800 number to call. It's a suicide hotline. It's not a nation, it's not even a number specifically for veterans. It's a nationwide number, mm-hmm. and when you call it, 90% of the people who call it for help get arrested. I'm not saying that's standard operating procedures. I'm saying that's the facts that I know. So I met Lori Goodwin, and she started her own 1-800 number, the Warrior Distress Line, 1-800-689-1850. She started that. So when you call, you talk to a veteran.
Yeah. When somebody calls, like, say somebody's in distress, that's when they call you?
Well, they call the line. We have all, like, volunteers, and they're all veterans, because a lot of times, I know, when I got home, I went home to PA. There's nothing there. Absolutely nothing. So one of my friends ended up calling the crisis line from Ohio, and I have cops knocking at my door, like, threatening to throw me on the ground just because I'm a veteran.
Just because of that?
Yeah, that was it. Because they have no idea how to handle the returning veterans, so they just assume that we're all just going
to... If somebody's having a post-traumatic stress, or they don't want to, they're not trained in that, so they see possible violence, is that what you mean?
They just assume that we're all coming back, that we're all just going to, like, kill people, and that's just their assumption.
Well, it's not in Reading.
Yeah,
we don't have that problem in Reading. Not anything to that extent. So, anyway, so you started that hotline, mm-hmm. and then, so what you have then, and for the OIF, your OIF Veterans Organization, Veteran Community, is ways for other veterans to reach out and talk to y'all, essentially, either through the website or over the phone, right?
We make our cell phones available, make our names available, we put our email addresses, we'll talk any time of the day or night, some people only remember veterans, you know, occasionally. I remember them every day because it's definitely, these are the heroes that served our country, and I'm honored to be, even as the founder, I'm honored to be a part of the OIF veteran community, just to have a chance to know all these guys and girls.
Okay. It's an honor. Now, all right, so give us your website.
OIFveteranCommunity.org, and we have the Warrior Distress Line, which is 1-800-689-1850.
Hey, Bob, let's make sure we get that, and so we can, I've got a card.
So you'll be
let's
there.
Make sure we get it on our website.
People can meet you at Tobacco and Brew as well.
Yes, we'll be up there. We'll be manning the tables up there. And Gary Douglas, I advise anybody that has any problems with their health care right now or their claim to come see Mr. Gary Douglas, AMVETS, Post 4, Mojo.
Yeah, we're going to, in fact, we've got to take a break here, and we're going to come back with Gary, and we're going to finish up in that segment with him. But I'd just like to thank you two. You're both, are young veterans, and the ones that are fighting in the wars now, which seems to keep going on and on. I don't know if they will end with Afghanistan. I have a feeling they won't, because I think there's always going to be another fight on the horizon there.
And that's what we're trying to do, is prepare the health care and the service we get home is for the next 100 years, because we can't change it just for now. It's got to be for years.
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, I'm not in favor of the Obama administration and many of the things it does, but one of the things they did do was they tripled the amount of money that went into the VA. I'm not sure all the money went in the right spots, and that's one of those things that we, you know, it can be discussed, and you know, probably ad nauseum about it, but at least somebody said that, you know, that recognized the fact is that we're sending hundreds of thousands of our best and brightest out there, and that they're going to come home. They're going to need to have treatment. They are going to need to be able to come into clinic. I mean, I got back from Iraq, and for 5 years, my medical treatment is free at the VA. At the end of that, then, you know, you go into the other, you know, into whatever TRICARE system, whatever, if you're retired. But it's still it's still something that this country, if the country is going to send you to war and is going to deploy you into combat, put you in harm's way, they've got to be able to take care of you when you get back.
My dad's got a real funny way of putting it. He says, fix what you broke.
There you go. Okay, John Keith, Lori Goodwin, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to take a quick break. Carl and Bot, KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio, clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, North State, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bott here, KCNR 1460. Currently, 66 degrees, going to be high today of 94. Want to give a shout out to a belated birthday, actually, yes, Diane from Country Kitchen. Yesterday was her big, big birthday. And, you know, Diane, I just want to say that when you turn the age you have, which I already have, it's not just a one-day celebration. You can celebrate every day for the whole year. You have permission. And I just wanted to also add that, you know,
Country... Why don't you say what it is?
Okay. She's fabulous and 50.
There you go. She looks great.
Yeah, so Diane...
I mean, that's not a secret.
Well, I also want to say that we love to have breakfast there, and I had the best burger. I just want to share that real fast. When they make their burgers from scratch. And so when you chomp into a hamburger, it is delishimo. I just got to tell you, and they've remodeled, so, you know, if you're looking, where are we going to go? Go check out Country Kitchen, and the soups, of course. Diane is always making the soups from scratch, and we love you guys over there. So happy birthday, Diane, and congratulations to Charlie and Lynn Moss, who have become grandparents. They have a lovely granddaughter. And so congratulations. A lot of things, wonderful, positive things happening over at Country Kitchen.
Okay. Hey, our guest here, we finish up this segment, is Gary Douglas, who is the service advisor for American Veterans, AMVETS.
Yes.
And you've come up, this is your second visit up here that I know of. And you're down at Tobacco and Brew today, starting, well, at 9 o'clock. And tell us again what you're going to be doing.
Again, what we're here to do is talk to veterans about their benefits, what benefits they may have entitlement to, how to file a claim, explanation on how to file a claim. Some folks are do-it-yourselfers, and I understand that. We need to understand there's over 26 million veterans in this country. And I don't know if you've ever done the investigation on the numbers, but less than 6 million veterans have actually applied for their benefits.
Well, you know, when I got out the first time, when I retired the first time, I never even got near the VA. When we were going through our transition and classes, it was like they gave you just stacks of this stuff, and it was like I had my DD-214, and then I went on to do other things in my life. And now I realize just how important that is. The second time, you know, around, I did go down to the VA. We believe there's thousands of veterans here in Shasta County we haven't even accounted for.
I've heard that there's quite a few out in the hills. We call them hermits. Actually, that's what they've been telling me at Tobacco and Brew. And I believe that. Combat vets will alienate themselves when they get the opportunity. I mean, and you can't blame them, because the only people they're safe with is themselves. And that's how they feel. There's a need all over this country, and what I'm hoping is generated from what I've started doing here in California is that service organizations, service officers will get out from behind that desk, get out there on the streets, get out there to the local hospitals, the local nursing facilities, educate people, because the only way that we can empower our veterans is through education.
Well, I know that Sharon from Home Helpers works with the Shasta County Veterans Service Officer. When she identifies veterans, that she immediately calls them and says, you know, this is somebody you need to talk to, because they don't know what the types of rights they have, in fact.
Right.
So, but what we need to do is make a coalition of all of these groups, that is, they find these veterans out there. And, you know, we have that stand down every year that is supposed to bring in the homeless veterans, even though that the numbers seem to be pretty low up here in Shasta County. So it's organizing ourselves to take care of, to help ourselves.
Right. If you learn anything from me while I'm here, and I believe this wholeheartedly, we talk about entitlements in this country, and I believe that one person, or actually one group of people, have entitlements in our country, and that's the veteran, those who serve our country. Freedom's not free. You know that, Colonel. Freedom comes at ultimate sacrifices, and what I want everybody out there to understand is the VA is not a gimme. It's not a welfare system. It is our country fulfilling the promise to the veteran who serves our country.
That's absolutely correct. And that's just a great way to finish up here. Okay, Gary, going to be down at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, going down there in the big meeting room, and he's there to help you. And this is not the only time that he's going to be on. We're going to have him giving us a call on a regular basis. so that we can talk about these issues. So, Gary, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll try and stop by there later and say hello.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Hey, our guest in the next segment will be Doug Craig, who's going to be
launching a show on Sunday. We have a few people launching their shows on Sunday,
right.
So we're going to pick his brain. Stay with us.
Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, Clearly News Talk Radio.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Back North State to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 8:05 right here on Free Fire Radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. Write to Linda at Linda@KCNR1460.com.
That's right. And you know what? It's 69 degrees if you're just tuning in. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day with a high of 94. Thank God we're not in the triple digit time right now.
Well, you know, city of Shasta Lake, you know, our friends down in Redding or in Anderson and Cottonwood, you know, we're all kind of like in this together. Somehow Chico gets 8 degrees cooler. I'm not sure how they do that.
Well, we have a new show coming on Sunday right here on KCNR. And did you pick a time?
A time? I'm going to be on at 10 o'clock.
10 a.m.
Yeah. 10 a.m.
Our guest today, Doug Craig, is taking that step forward. I saw your blog yesterday in the on the Record Searchlight, Redding.com.
Correct.
And it's saying is that now people, instead of just being able to write things to you, can call you directly.
Yes, directly razz me air.
Doug, if you will you share with our listeners, those who may not know who you are, a little bit about who you are?
Okay. My brief biography, I'm an Air Force brat. If you've ever visited the blog, you can read that off to the side. My dad was career Air Force. He was stationed all over, as those in the military know. You don't stay in one place for long. And when I came into the world, I was in Wiesbaden, Germany. And we ended up in a place called Inglewood, California for a few years, and then back to Germany. And then he was sent to the Pentagon. And so as a kid, I would walk up and down the halls of the Pentagon occasionally. And then he volunteered to go to Vietnam for a year when I was a teenager. And my mom and brother and sister and I had moved to Ohio without him to a place called Wright Pad Air Force Base. And that's where he retired. And that's where I went to junior high and high school. And then I kind of scared my parents that I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to hitchhike, and so I hitchhiked around this country for a little bit, and I got a job and made some money, and then I went to Europe and North Africa and hitchhiked around for a while as a 19-year-old for about half a year. And
hitchhiking in North Africa must have been a lot of fun.
I did not hitchhike in North Africa, actually. But by the time I got down there, it's buses.
Yeah.
And then I had a frightening experience in Tunisia. I didn't understand the whole visa thing, and my visa had expired, and I thought, anyway, I just messed up on the date. I was a day late coming out, so they used that as an excuse to pull me off the bus and leave me in the middle of nowhere. They were hoping to find drugs, of course, because at that time, I don't know what it's like now, but if you ever listen to the Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, Marrakesh Express, that's exactly what it is. Just listen to the lyrics. But at the time, I was on my own over there, and it was a tough deal. But I had a lot of fun, a lot of interesting experiences, and I'd love to tell about it. So
wow,
it was,
I mean, I'm still like, I'm still the visual of, okay, you're taken off the bus. Did they rough you up?
Didn't rough me up. They searched extensively through my backpack for drugs. I did run into guys that had been arrested and put into prison. And what they do when they do that, if you ever watch Midnight Express.
Oh, yes.
Some guy named Omar becomes your buddy.
Yeah. I don't know if his name is Omar, but it was...
Yeah, yeah. I did hang out with Muhammad Sheff and some of his crew for a little while, for a couple days there. They were all very friendly to me, but that particular experience didn't last too long because fortunately I did not have drugs, and they didn't have any excuse to retain to hang on to me, and I was able to head on down the road. And there was a French gentleman that back then in France you either had to do service, military service, or some other kind of service, and France had a relationship with Algeria. I was going from Morocco to Algeria, not Tunisia, and so I was fortunate he picked me up. So it all turned out good.
Well,
happy ending.
We always like happy endings because you have the French's relationship with Algeria. You know, at one point was quite the
positive.
Like you could drive down the road without having 8,000 different people trying to kill you.
There you go.
Do you still have contact with that man today?
No.
The French man.
No, I don't have it. I had a lot of amazing contacts over those years, but no, I don't have any. I've not retained those relationships, unfortunately.
Well, that's fascinating. Yeah. Then the French man. We got to take a break. Come back. I love this.
Okay.
I'm on this journey with Doug Craig.
What we want is our audience to learn who Doug Craig is, and then what Doug's going to be talking about in his show. Maybe a little bit different than other shows you've heard here on KCMR.
This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. It's 69 degrees. Going to be high today of 94. Stay with us after these messages.
Our radio with Carl and the Bot on KCNR 1460. It's 8:13 in the morning. It's July 28th. It's going to be a great day.
You're listening to KCNR 1460.
Let's say that again, 1460. We had somebody come up the other day, said, you know, that they heard some things, and it was on another radio station. And I said, oh, really? I said, what show? And he said, Dennis Miller. And we went, Dennis Miller? And he says, yeah, you know, I really like Michael Savage, too. You know, gosh, he was talking about it. And I said, that's 1460. It is? Well, I guess the light's off in my radio. You know, he couldn't tell. And I'm like, but so we handed him a card. And he was happy then. He knew who we were, too.
Yeah.
He just had the stations mixed up. So tell your friends it's KCNR
1460.
There you go. Hey, our guest today is Doug Craig.
Who's going to be starting a new show on Sunday at 10.
And he blogged yesterday and said that Carl and Linda Bott are either geniuses or completely lost their mind or maybe a portion of both.
There you go.
To have you on.
Yes.
And I think that you represent a part of our community, and just like other people represent parts of our community. And these parts have to be made into a one.
Right.
We may not always agree on things we say,
right?
But we should be able to disagree civilly.
Exactly.
And have people we don't agree with perhaps to our house,
right?
And have dinners and have groups of people together so that we don't get into this thing where it's going to be my way or the highway type
stuff.
You know, we're going through this with our right now in our city. That our city is going to we've got two forces that are bashing on each other that they need to kind of find it. That ground, and I am pontificating about this, but they need to find some kind of middle ground here. But let's go back to Doug. Now, after you made it through Algeria,
and the French man decided to give you a ride,
yes,
and help you along. Where'd you go then?
Well, let's see. He just got me to civilization, basically, and from there, actually, I hooked up with a Lebanese gentleman, and he. Kind of shepherded me through Algeria. You know, we have a lot of ideas about that culture, but basically they're human beings, and they were very gracious to me because I was hanging out with a guy from that culture, but he was able to get me into other people's homes as I traveled across that country and then into Tunisia, and then I caught an airplane to Rome. So
things got a little bit different.
Yeah, Rome's a little different.
So about how long were you on foot or like you said, in the middle of nowhere?
On that particular day, just probably a few hours.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't overnight, no.
You didn't have to sleep in the woods like John Muir, you know, decided
no,
to
no,
do.
No,
okay.
No. Actually, you know, that sounds bad, but my worst experience was actually in Spain. This was in the Franco era when... they had a dictator in charge of Spain, and the police routinely stopped everybody and checked their papers, and so no one would pick me up. So actually, I have worse memories of that. But at any rate, I survived Europe. I came back, and my parents were grateful that they thought I was going to then go to college, and instead I went over on the west side of Dayton, and I kind of joined a cult. That I would look at it back now as kind of a cult kind of thing.
Kind of a peace and love.
Kind of, yeah. There was actually a gentleman who was a yoga master, and he was a black gentleman, but he had about 30 of us white suburban kids with long hair and bare feet, and we were all there meditating and chanting, and actually had a very successful incense producing business. We had a bingo operation. We were making lots of money.
Wow.
But you're in a cult doesn't mean you can't make money.
Right. And we had some very interesting experiences doing that. And but at some point I realized somebody talked to me. I did go to college. I decided, because I was very interested in religion and spirituality, that was my major, and a very practical gentleman that worked at, it was called the Ghetto's Palace Yoga Institute, strange name, but anyway, he said, you need to get practical, and that's when I changed my major to, and my college actually, to journalism and broadcasting, and that's when I ended up at University of Dayton, and I was an on-air disc jockey for a couple of years, and worked at a couple different newspapers while I was in college, being a stringer and writing some stories for the newspaper. So that's when I really got my interest in that going, and then from there I started taking some psych classes and decided to move in back into the counseling. Actually, when I was high school, I volunteered at a crisis hotline. And so I got back into that in college, and I've been had a continuous paid job as a counselor since I was 22 years old. And the rest is kind of history. I went to grad school, became a psychologist, and in 1984 I moved to Reading. I was at Shasta County Mental Health as a fellow, they called us, postdoctoral fellow. And
that's as high as you can go, isn't it? Fellow is like the top of the game.
Well, they call it a terminal degree. So I had a PsyD, a doctorate in psychology. It's kind of the top of that chain. But within the mental health field, we're still below the psychiatrists. They're the big dogs in the mental health field, of course, with their MDs and their prescription privileges. So we're not quite at the top, but within psychology field, we're at the top of that, I guess. So
well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Doug Shell and the different aspects of it, and the different types of aspects and different topics on it. Because this may be something that I don't remember hearing around Reading, at least not on the radio shows. But when we come back, we're going to discuss that. Carl Undabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
In today's economy...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. That's KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, our phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Right off of Airport Road, just go down from the Burrito Bandito. You're going to see a bunch of satellites out there. Doug Tooley's the owner. They've been helping customers since 1985. You want that surround sound system? You want that home theater system? Well, you just talked to Doug Tooley. His phone number is 244-1988. Doug is a veteran, former member of the 82nd Airborne. He takes care of veterans out there. So see him down at B&T Satellite right off of Airport Road. Our guest is Doug Craig, who is going to be starting his show this Sunday from 10 to 11.
And I'm very excited because the name of it is called Wake Up Call.
Correct.
Yeah, and so you've given, just put in front of me a card with, so there's like five things. Is that all going to be in one show or each show?
No, what I've come up with is kind of a structural theme for what the show could be. You know, it's kind of an experiment. I often tell my clients, if you're unwilling to fail, you will always fail. If you're willing to fail, you'll never fail. And the idea is that this is kind of an experiment to see, like the two of you, and I commend you for having the courage to experiment with me in allowing kind of different programming on the air. I think the only other person that I've run across in my 25 years in Reading that reminds me of what you're doing is Ken Murray, in that even though no one ever associates him with liberal views, I've always admired his willingness to sit down with anybody and talk to them and listen. That's more important, listen to them. And that's what I think you guys are trying to do here, which is to say, you know, this is a diverse community. There's a lot of people here, and why not cast that net wide and see what other ideas are out there. So back to the show, though. Wake Up Call, you know, it has these five elements. The first one is Beyond Politics, which is the idea that I think too often our media anyway tries to filter everything through the liberal conservative paradigm or continuum, and I think mostly where I live in my life, that is not really relevant. I have not come across a conservative depression or a liberal anxiety in the sense that when someone comes into me, a stranger walks into my office and sits down, and within a few minutes they're telling me intimate details about their life, it has nothing to do with politics. You know, the things that we care about most, the most important things in our lives are our family, our parents, our siblings, our children, whether our kids get into good schools, whether they get good jobs. You know, that none of that stuff has anything to do with liberal or conservative. I think in that sense, we're all in the same pool, so to speak. So hopefully the show I have will allow all of us to see that, you know, we're really in this together. And we don't have to be so divisive. We don't have to be so antagonistic and distant from one another. But beyond that, I have Psychology of Hope, which is truly what I try to help people get to when they sit down in my office. They either healing themselves or healing their relationships. And my show won't be about me, though. Every show I hope to have others on the air, and I'll be allowing them to share their ideas in regard to this. I want to trust science, because if there's one thing that is not political, it's science, core science. You know, gravity isn't liberal or conservative, and at what temperature water boils isn't political. So that, the whole truth, just as related to journalism, my background in journalism, which I'm intimately aware that we kind of get narrow views of certain topics instead of broader views. And finally, the spiritual commons, which may be the controversial element, comes from my deep spiritual beliefs that transcend all religions and kind of unites us. And, you know, I'm reminded of a guy named Thomas Merton, a Catholic monk, who, if you go to Louisville, Kentucky, the corner of 4th and Walnut Street, you're going to find a sign there that commemorates his Enlightenment experience, where he is written about in one of his books, in which he had this epiphany that we're all the same, we're all united, and we're all one. And I think we need to get back to some basic spiritual understanding that despite all our differences, we are all one. So there we go. That's a lot. I'm sorry.
No,
go on and on.
And you're going to do that in the first show, right?
No. If the show survives, these elements may be presented. Like, I could have a minister on to talk about something.
Great. Right,
or a journalist.
Said, absolutely.
Or a psychologist, yeah. So not every show will cover all that. No way. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well,
beautifully said. But it's the plan, and you have to have a plan.
Yeah, right.
Believe it or not, it may not sound like it, but Linda and I have plans every day before we walk in here. A lot of times they're just thrown right up in the air.
And most of all, it's just to survive and to breathe
Come out with
take
that,
it in and live in the moment.
Come out without too much blood laying on the deck here. But we have other people that have lined up their shows for an entire year. They know what they're going to be talking about for a year. I mean, this is like, wow. But outline, you know, the outline of your show is going to be, it sounds like it's going to be different. You're going to be touching on so many different things. It's not just, you know, psychology. It's going to be science.
Climate, you know, science, psychology, getting, journalism.
You know, yeah,
right.
Journalism, the whole thing that everybody's got a oar in the water on one of these. So, okay, we've got to take a, not yet. Okay, yeah, we've got to take a quick break here in a couple of seconds. Our guest is Doug Craig. He's going to start his show on Sunday.
Called Wake Up Call.
Called Wake Up Call. And I think it's going to be an I know it's going to be an interesting show. We've listened to Doug before, and on other times he's taken people's places. It's going to be a great show. But join us after this break, and we're going to continue our discussion with Doug Craig. Carl Endebot, Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, North State. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. 71 degrees currently, and it is going to be a beautiful, high, sunny. The highs will be 94. Absolutely gorgeous. 834, and wow, make it a beautiful day. And we have about our second part of our program here. We've got Doug Craig on as our special guest this morning, and we are talking about his show that's going to be launching on Sunday called Wake Up Call at 10. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Well,
thank you.
You know, Doug, it's not everybody that has stood in this august studio that I can say firmly that you probably own the worst car in the world. Is that true? Did you actually say that?
I have said that. Yes. Yes, I have said that. And, yeah, I have mixed feelings. If anyone's read my blog, I ran a piece, and it was just the first chapter. So there's many more chapters to come on it, but called A Sap and a Zap. And Zap, for those of you who don't know, ZAP stands for Zero Air Pollution. And it's an electric car. And I had a dream for years and years and years to have solar panels on my roof, and then have an electric car I could plug into those panels, and then I could drive on sunshine. So that was my dream, and my dream came true. But as I write in the blog, be careful what you wish for, because these things don't always have happy endings.
But you still have the car.
I still have the car. I dropped it off at Earl's Auto Electric yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Earl's Auto Electric.
Yeah.
Where's that at?
A local guy. What is it, on Butte Street, I believe, okay, down near Continental? Yeah.
He still has the old sign out in front, Earl's.
Yeah.
Like the old-time garage.
Larry owns it now and runs it. Larry Hawes, I believe his name is. But Earl's, I guess, for old-timers. I've only been here since 84, but I think it goes way back before that. But anyway, I don't know that he's worked on too many electric cars, but he is probably the electric car expert in town now, because he's seen my car many times.
Is it that little white contraption that I see?
No, mine's so bright blue that it blinds you. So you know it. It's got one wheel in the front. It's a three-wheeled motorcycle with a car chassis.
Is there another one in town that's white?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, you've probably seen that. Although I don't know if he still drives it. I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
How many miles to a charge do you get on this?
I could probably push it to 10, but it's 5 miles from my home to work, and with that and a prayer, I get to work every day.
Do you plug it in when you get to work?
And I plug it in, but you know, this is the weird thing. I've just recently discovered, you know, maybe the secret. And this, I have no idea. I asked Larry about it, and he just looked at me in silence because he doesn't know. But when I get home in the evening now, I plug it in, and then when I go to bed, I come out and I unplug it. And then when I get up in the morning, I plug it in again, you know, and then by the time I get in the car and go, it seems to be pretty good. So, but if I leave it plugged in all night, and I come out, it still has a charge, but it's I don't know. I don't understand it. It's almost like it gets too much.
Well, I think they said if you're supposed to let your batteries on your computer run down, too. You're supposed to, you know, bop.
Depending on the battery technology, now I would expect the Volt to have or the Zap to have lead acid technology, so it's probably something in the charge. But yeah, you shouldn't pull a battery all the way down, because especially a lead acid battery, because that causes sulfation and internal shorts. But sounds like they have issues with their charge controllers, so
don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Larry says it looks good. The battery looks good. It's just my third set of batteries since I purchased it in May of 2008. And the first set they paid for, the second set I paid for, it's $1,500.
So, wow.
So, you know, it's a $13,000 car, and then all the other costs, you know, that I've had to pay to Larry for different things. And so, you know, we're hoping and praying, you know.
At what point do you go, you know, there's a lot to be said for hitching up that horse to that buggy and just trotting on down the street. It's leavings are, it may not be completely, you know, energy free, but then you can use its horse manure on your garden and things like that. And it sits out there, you just water it.
So tell us about Sunday's show. This Sunday you're launching. What can we expect for this Sunday?
For this Sunday, I have a gentleman named Dick Rollman on the show, and he's from Shingletown. And you know, it's somewhat an exercise in empathy in that Mr. Rollman and many others up in Shingletown are concerned because another private owner up there wants to drill deep into his land and pull up a bunch of water and sell it to a water bottling company. And so it's kind of presenting the classic conflict we have in our culture where we want to promote free market capitalism and people, you know, taking advantage of opportunities to make money and to support their family, and yet we kind of look at it funny if it has a negative impact on your neighbors. So you know, it's a controversy up there, and I want to have Dick on and an associate of his to kind of discuss what that's about and what that impact would have. And
do they know that it's going to have an impact on them?
Well, they know it would have an immediate impact in that apparently there'd be like 96 trucks going up and down the road hauling that water. And by 96, I mean in 24-hour period, you know, every 7 minutes, these huge trucks rumbling by with the water. So that kind of impact will be there. Whether
and that's on the side roads there in Shingletown.
You know, I'm going to find out. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're going to find out. But, you know, I think the bigger issue for me, because of my study of climate, the National Resources Defense Council has just released a report of a map of the United States, what it's going to look like in the middle of the century. When my daughters are my age in the middle of the century, and for example, the state of Texas is almost all the darkest red possible, which indicates that you know, Texas will have extreme water shortages in 2050, and if you look at California, it's better, but not much better. Shasta County isn't the darkest red, but it's the next to that.
Is that based on the fact that underground water tables are going to drop or are going to
everything.
Disappear?
Yeah, everything. You know, shifting precipitation patterns, but certainly our underground aquifers are fueled by snowmelt, and it doesn't take much warming to take away the snowmelt, and when we lose the snowmelt, we're in trouble. And we are drawing down groundwater at a pretty incredible rate, and they're not being refreshed. And so now, whether that's directly going to relate to the Shingletown situation, we'll find out.
Okay, hey, look, we got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 4. Door stay tuned. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:45 in the morning. Carl Linda Botter, phone lines here, 605-4567, July 28th. It's going to get up to like 98 today. Our guest is Doug Craig, who's launching his new show on Sunday, Wake Up Call, from 10 to 11. He'll be following the Around the House and right in front of Donnie Greenberg's new show.
That's very exciting.
This is going to be, I know we're all excited about this, our Sunday lineup, because when we decided to do the radio station, we made a conscious effort to make to make it into a community station. Yes, we do have syndicated shows, and that run during the week. But we also had, you know, we wanted to hold up certain areas open for our community, and the community has stepped up. I mean, they really have. A lot of people have a lot of great things to say out there. I mean, we are still looking for, you know, shows that people have got something they're interested to talk about, that they want to talk about. You know, come down and talk to us. Come down and see us, and let us help you get on the air, because we believe in this.
But the beautiful thing is, Carl and I say this in many of the circles that we move in, is that we really believe that it's important to have all ideas on the table or thoughts on the table, and that you should be able to break bread and agree to disagree and be civil about it. And it's like if you go take a course, a college class, and you walk in and your professor or the person teaching that course, if they have a certain political view, do you turn around and walk out? Or are you there to learn about what that subject is? And that is what your show is going to be like. It is going to be educational.
Right.
Topical.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are going to learn a lot. And may hit some buttons that are completely not in their comfort zone. But it's important to have a broad perspective.
And it's important that they call in and ask you about it.
Yes.
And just see just how passionate you are about it.
Yes.
And what I mean is that if you say something, I mean, do you just, you know, if somebody says something on the radio and you have a chance to rebut that or a chance to ask that question, do you just let it go by? Or do you ask that question and say, where did you come up with that? When I believe this, you know, these facts my whole life, you know. So it's that kind of, you know, but being able to discuss things without a, you know, anger.
Exactly.
And incivility. And that's our only rule when people come on the show is be civil.
There you go.
And speaking of being civil, so where do you think all that oil disappeared to that was on the surface?
Down I don't
there?
Know.
I mean, really, I mean, what they've just said today is all those skimmers came out, like 200 skimmer boats came back out with like a half a barrel of oil, and they're all skimming the surface. And yet 30 million barrels of oil at least pushed into the Gulf. Where did all that go to? I mean,
I know that there's scientists studying all this, and we'll have a report someday. But you know, maybe with the currents, it's being sucked down and swept over to Florida. Who knows? Up the East Coast. I don't know.
They did a study. They looked at the beaches, and if you look at the beaches look white, but they come in there at night with the black light, and you can see the oil. It is gone into the sand, and it's integrated itself in the sand, but it's very, very difficult to see, especially if it's like 6 inches under. So what you do is that the only way you can see it is with that black light. So does that mean, okay, so if you can't see it with the naked eye, does that mean it's not there?
Right.
And even worse is, so of course it is there, but what kind of impact is that going to have on you? And, you know, if you're laying there on the sand, is that going to have an impact on you?
Yeah, we need to know that, right?
I think they need to find out something like that. And then this whole industry down there is ruined. I mean, these people had these businesses, they're gone. And mm-hmm. So there's got to be something to help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, in my opinion, we can't go completely berserk and go completely the opposite way and say, you know, nothing mm-hmm. can be done over there. Especially when you're looking at us shutting down all of our wells, and you're looking 5 miles away, and here comes 14 other countries that are drilling in the same spot. You know, there's got to be a way of handling this. But that's just my opinion. Okay, so you're all pumped up and ready to go.
I am. I'm excited. I'm very excited. And, I'm looking forward to doing this, and hopefully there'll be a positive response from the community. You know, my catch line would be that my main focus and desire will be to highlight the people and companies that are making positive contributions to our community and the planet. So the idea is that I can hopefully find many local people to represent what they're doing, either their company or their private pursuits that could be helpful to us. But also, as you know, I had Naomi Oreskes on the phone the other day, who, for those folks that aren't obsessed like I am with climate science probably never heard of the lady, but within the field, she's probably one of the top five scientists in the world and has written a book called Merchants of Doubt. So I'm hoping to get a lot of people like that that I can interview and put on the air and kind of, again, like Linda said, like you said, educate people about things that you might not know or might not understand.
And with our ability to stream throughout the United States and archive the stuff, that you can have people that can listen to this.
Exactly.
And can make comments here. Okay, we've got to take a break for our last segment. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
No, I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's 8:55 in the morning. And speaking of not backing down, Chief Peter Hansen put his resignation.
Thank you for doing that.
You know, Peter, you were on the show. In fact, Chief Hansen's going to be on our show next week. We're going to be talking to him then. You know, the thing about it is when we talked, and I know that this decision that you had made was something that was foremost in your mind. But this is a tough time for our city, and we're going to need leadership at all levels here, on the city council and the police, everywhere. That needs to be able to work together. And I see the chief as having the capabilities of bridging some of these problems that we're having between the association and the city council and the city staff. So thanks a lot, Chief, for staying on. I realize that there's, you know, that I've heard one person that was not happy with it, but then again, we discount that person because I don't agree with him, so I just discount what he says. You know, but if he had said it and he agreed with me, I would say, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. So I guess that's what we all do.
Right.
Hey, our guest is Doug Craig.
Hey, congratulations, Doug, for going for it.
I'm glad to be here, and thank you again for giving me the chance to do it. We'll see how it goes.
Well, it's not everybody that, you know, that takes that step out there. We had one person that really wanted to, but just couldn't pull the trigger on it. That they wanted to, and they would have been great. They've been on shows before.
I think their fear
wasn't
the timing, and there was a fear around it. And we kept saying, you have so much to say, so much knowledge to share, and that's the congratulatory moment when you walk through the door and you are on the air with your own show. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, that's Doug Craig. He's going to be here. Any last thoughts here, Doug, before we close this down?
I just, again, thank you for giving me the chance, and I hope people tune in and let me know what you think. I'm always open to feedback.
Great. You know, tomorrow, our guest, Thursday, Paul Huser from the Reading Electric Utility will be here.
Yay.
And we're going to have Paul here and talk about what's going on with the REU, the thing about the REU is the rates are going up. You see about it all the time. Every year it's going to be going up. We need to find out why. One of the other questions we want to talk about is this biomass question, is why biomass is not considered to be a renewable asset. In Oregon, they've got lawsuits going against it now, and they're fighting against the federal government, the way I understand it. That, you know, to you be able to use this as a form of producing electricity. Have you heard this before?
Well, biomass is not considered a greenhouse gas producing because it's pulling from the current cycle. It's not ancient carbon pulled up from the ground, so it's kind of natural. It's within the system, right?
Yeah, but they won't let them use that. From what I understand,
I didn't hear that. Yeah, I read Mark Beecham's blog on that. So,
and that's strange because of the of not being able to use something that is, you know, renewable and so that's why I said in Oregon they're fighting, they're starting to take on the feds on this. So that's going to be interesting. We want to talk about that. We want to talk about other items that are hitting the city and the area with the REU on the energy, how they can help you save energy cost, how they can help reduce it. And I also want to be able to talk here in the upcoming shows about solar, bringing on people that says, you know, for this amount of money, you can save this much on your electric bill without having to pay thousands of dollars. I think that scares a lot of people. But I think they need to realize is that we can, there are a lot of things they can do with solar that can cut their energy bills. We also have on Friday, we're having another group of people in that are going to be a surprise to our listeners. But it's going to be a great time. And then I think tomorrow I'm heading up to the pot plantations up around Hayfork to see what's going on up there. The supervisor, Mr. Yeager, is going to take me around. We're going to drive around and look at pot plantations, which seems like is going to be the question here in the next couple months before we before the elections in November.
And the silence is deafening.
I
just got down to the last 30 seconds.
You're looking at me like help, and I'm just thinking about.
Okay, there is one last thing.
Okay.
I want to send out kudos to Shasta County. It looks like they're going after the Trinity National Forest people over their road plan, and they're going to sue them. They're taking them on. They're going to take on the feds, saying you cannot control us like this. You've got to listen to us. We'll talk a little bit about that with one of those supervisors, too. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.